everyone, and welcome back to the Nerding Out 2 podcast. We are back doing our Nerding Out to the Fox universe, Fox X-Men universe, I guess. Anyway, back with my brother Matt. We're back for a second time in a week, Matt.
Yeah, first time in a while.
Yeah, I know, right? It's like, we're like buses. Yeah, wait for one and then two come along at once.
Yeah.
We just take a week off and then like, hey, do two this week. We'll make up for it, I guess. Plus, like, we had a shit ton of news. If you missed a news podcast from earlier in the week, go back and check it out. It's quite a good talk, I think. But just so people know, we are still avoiding spoilers for Ant-Man and Wasp. So don't tell us spoilers. We've not seen it yet. We're deprived and have to wait. Not long now. Are you seeing it on release day, Matt? Well, UK release day.
Possibly. I'm going to try to.
Let me know, because we'll all get together and do a podcast on it straight away. And
yeah, go back to the MCU.
Yeah, and all the American listeners will just be like, so? Practically out on DVD over here.
Yeah, they'd be too busy getting hyped for Captain Marvel at that point.
Yeah, bastards. Nah, I love you, American listeners. I love anyone who listens to us and gives us the time of day. I appreciate that. I think you all know what we do by now. I don't even bother explaining it. I'm not even sure if I've explained it on any of these Fox X-Men episodes, but you know, we like to go back and re-review all the movies first in the MCU, and then we did the MCU all up to date, and now we're going through the Fox's X-Men universe, and we've gone through X-Men 1, 2, Last Stand, painfully fell our way through Origins, and climbed our way back out with First Class, and here we are at the Wolverine. So as always, I'm just going to jump straight into it and not mess about and ask you, Matt, the first time you saw the Wolverine, back, I say all the way back in 2013, but that ain't really that long ago.
It doesn't feel like it's 5 years ago, does it? Feels longer.
It feels older, yeah.
And I think it's because we've got so many movies now, whereas before it's like one a year. Now we're getting like four a year.
Yeah, definitely. This to me, it's mental that this came out like after The Avengers, for example.
You know,
it's come out the same year as Iron Man 3, I believe, you know, and it's like, all those movies seem more modern than this. They're not saying they come off and look more modern, I just like always remember this as an older movie for some reason. But no, this came out in 2013. I believe it was probably Fox's only output as far as the superhero or X-Men franchise went. So, could you remember seeing this in the cinema? Did you go to see this in the cinema?
I'm pretty sure I went to see it in the cinema.
pretty sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what were your opinions the first time you saw it, whether it was cinema or not?
I remember enjoying it. I remember thinking, it's a big step up from Origins. But then,
Matt, I took a shit earlier that was a big step up from Origins.
Yeah, it wasn't quite to the level First Class was for me. It's still like, it was in between. It was good. I enjoyed it. I wanted to see it again. And like the end credit scene got me hyped for Days of Future Past.
Mm-hmm.
But again, there's still flaws in this story, I think. But it's definitely felt more like a Wolverine movie.
If I was to push you for a score out of 10 the first time you saw it, and we'll see at the end if that's changed.
Probably an 8 out of 10.
Okay, that's quite high. First time I saw this movie, I was a bit, I didn't know what to really expect, because we've said this about Fox, how they seemed a bit all over the place at this point in time. Like, Origins probably one of, if not the worst combat movie ever made. It's in the conversation anyway, especially as far as we're concerned.
Yeah.
And then they go and drop First Class, which was just, I think, shocked everyone for how good that was. So now you're like, well, I don't know what to, I have no idea what to expect from this Wolverine movie. Like, this could go either way. And I think because I was still hyped from First Class, and I was looking forward to Days of Future Past and all the rest of it, so I was a bit like, okay, let's do this. I think my only negative thoughts going into it was I wasn't sure if we needed a Wolverine movie at this point. I actually thought that the X-Men franchise was thriving by not having Wolverine and taking a step back from that and focusing on other characters. So I was almost a little bit disappointed that here we are again with okay, technically only the second solo Wolverine movie, but, you know, the first two X-Men feel like Wolverine movies, so it felt like the fourth Wolverine movie. But when I saw it, I was pleasantly surprised. I think you'll see as this podcast goes on, but I don't think my feelings have changed too much from the first time I saw it. But I do sort of remember the first half hour being like, this is going to be fucking great. And then as it went on, that declined. And I was like, oh, this feels like it's gone back into classic Fox territory a little bit. Well, bad Fox territory. I was mixed feelings. I think I was more positive on it than I was negative. I think I would have come out at probably about a 7.5. I wasn't quite at an 8. I know 7.5 is quite, you know,
it's low for you.
Yeah, but also quite like putting a 0.5 for the first time you saw it seems a bit weird. But I sort of, I remember that. You know, I remember that sort of being my feelings about it. Like, not quite an 8. Like, I had a lot of friends, the friends that I went to see within the cinema who were like, oh, yeah, that's a good solid 8 out of 10. And I just remember not being quite there and having my problems with it. So let's jump straight into those problems and the positives as well. What was the sort of first, the thing that stands out most for you in this movie?
I love that it's set in Japan. I think that works brilliantly with Wolverine.
That's
based off honour to him.
I agree with that. I just love it. I just love it when these big movies are set somewhere that's not New York. And don't get me wrong, I love New York. We're now on our honeymoon. And anything Marvel, first thing you think of location-wise is New York. But sometimes, and I've got no problem with the movies being set there or anywhere in the States or whatever, but it is sometimes nice just to have something completely different, and that's what we got with this, and that was just, it was so refreshing. Like, I love Japanese culture anyway, so this was exciting to see.
Especially with like the G1 going on. With the G1 going on, we're very sort of invested in Japan at the moment.
We've got to get like a wrestling comment in on every one of these podcasts, I think.
Yeah.
Just to annoy people. If anyone wants us to do a wrestling podcast, let us know. Because it'll only take like 2 or 3 people to ask me, and I'll be like, yeah.
But that's okay, anyone but us asking, and we'll do it.
yeah, basically. As long as it's not me and Matt asking each other. I love Tokyo as a setting. And I just love things like the funeral scene and stuff like that looked gorgeous. And
the scene on the bus train was incredible.
Yeah, I was sort of a bit hot and cold on that, actually. I kind of thought it looked great, but then dragged on a little too long. And in fact, I would actually say, you know, not to wrap up already or anything, but that kind of sums up this movie. I think parts of it come off great and parts of it look great, but I really feel this movie's a bit of a drag at times.
Yeah.
It feels like quite a slog, you know? It feels like quite an effort to get through, and I don't know what that is. Well, I've got a few reasons. I mean, I do think some of the characters aren't fleshed out nowhere near enough. In fact, there's often parts in a movie where I felt that Logan was the only character that was fleshed out.
Yeah, and absolutely.
It almost felt like a waste of an interesting cast, because it was nice that it was set in Tokyo, and it was nice that it wasn't a whitewashed cast, and it was, you know, they brought in all these Japanese actors and actresses, but then didn't give them anything to do. I think, you know, Yukio was the only one really that I remember from this movie. The rest of them, I had to be reminded watching this again. You know, Yukio is the only one that I remember. You know, she was the only one that stood out of those Japanese cast.
Because she was the only one who was sort of given a backstory.
Yeah, and she was interesting.
Rather than just being, oh, we're from this rich family.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought, sticking on Logan a minute, Hugh Jackman, no matter how, you know, I just said about how frustrating it is that this felt like the fourth Wolverine movie we were getting, but I cannot take anything away from Hugh Jackman. He knocks it out of the park every time as Wolverine. Like, I feel like we maybe hate on it a little too much, like Wolverine, and I think it's unfair to Hugh Jackman because we're not hating on that character. I love that character. That character's been part of me growing up watching comic book movies, you know what I mean? And I love it. And I think the actual The actual scenes with Wolverine himself, forgetting everything that's going on around him, forgetting the poor story around him, forgetting some of the dull cast members that might be around him. If you're just focusing on that one character, then it's spectacular.
Oh, absolutely. Like, we'll go on, it's like, oh, they're doing another Wolverine movie. And then Hugh Jackman shows up and it's like, oh yeah, it's Wolverine. This guy's awesome.
and it'll be funny, like, you'll be in the queue to go watch, like, First Class or whatever, and you'd be like, oh, you've seen them making another Wolverine solo movie. God, like, we need another one of those. Oh. And then Hugh Jackman turns up for, like, a 5-second cameo in First Class, and you're like, oh my fuck!
Yeah. Give me more Wolverine!
Yeah. Why isn't there more Wolverine, goddammit? So, yeah, we're probably hypocritical in that way, but, you know, I just think I don't ever want to brush over how much I fucking love Hugh Jackman in this role.
And I will say, I like how this is completely separate from all the other X-Men stories, essentially. So yeah. You get the stuff with Jean Grey, him mourning, essentially. But other than that, it's its own separate story.
Yeah, I completely agree. Yeah, the Jean Grey thing is the only thing that roots it. Other than that you can... like, it's just kind of cool that you can watch this movie independently of everything else. Like, this probably feels like maybe one of the bigger disconnects that we've seen so far, where it doesn't feel like it really sits anywhere. It's kind of just there. Especially as the next movie we watch is going to go fuck with the timeline so much that it is really hard to place this movie. Okay, yeah, I know it's meant to take place after X-Men 3, but it doesn't necessarily feel like... It's not like... to finish the X-Men experience, you have to watch this movie. And that's a good and a bad thing, I think. I think it's cool that it lives in its own little world, but at the same time, I do think... I don't think anyone is missing anything if you don't watch this movie.
I think it helps develop Logan as a character more. It's like him being told he's constantly a soldier. That plays out more in the Logan film and helps X-Men Origins a bit more.
Yeah.
But again... like, you're talking about the timeline. This does nothing to help that, because I remember, like, you seeing that flashback right at the beginning and, like, throughout the movies of, like, him in Nagasaki. And I'm thinking, wait, but you lost your memory in the 80s. This happened in the 40s. So how are you remembering in this?
I feel like we should have some sort of jingle for every time we pick something wrong with the X-Men timeline.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does get to the point where you just got to ignore it, ain't you? And be like, wow.
Wow, that's the story they're telling, fair enough.
Yeah, and to be honest, it's like, I rarely pick up on shit like that because it's got so convoluted and just so confusing that you forget. Does he have a memory at this point? Like, is he adamantium filled at this point? No, he's not. Has he got claw bones? Right. Where is he with Sabretooth right now? Are they friends? Are they enemies? Where's Stryker? Is he Miss Stryker? Yeah, Stryker, I think. You know, and like, you just, especially with Wolverine, more than any of the other characters, it is just so hard to place him in these timelines.
I think partly that's why they say it in Japan. So it's like, look, we're in this completely different world now.
It just makes it feel different.
None of it as matters.
Yeah, that is good. And again, like I said, I do like how this feels standalone. There's some really cool Wolverine scenes. Like, I love when he goes and gets revenge for the bear. Like,
oh yeah, that's brilliant.
Poison arrow in that guy's hand, and he's like, well,
I always laugh when he's like, ask me why it happened. Like, ask me. So, oh well, where'd you find it? So, oh, funny you should ask.
Yeah. It's classic Wolverine, isn't it? But yeah, I think he's definitely the standout in this movie, which he should be. It's just unfortunate then that other characters suffer. So, with that being said, Wolverine, we love. Hugh Jackman, character, fantastic. I ain't really got a problem with anything that Wolverine does in this movie. I've got a problem with things that happen to him, but as far as actual character development, I actually can't really fault this movie, I don't think.
No, there's nothing that happens in this movie where I was like, well, Wolverine wouldn't do that.
Exactly, yeah. It all felt in character with him. I thought maybe he was a bit too brutal at times. Like, where he throws that guy out the window, and like, how do you know there was a pool there? I didn't. Like, although that does feel like Wolverine, it was a bit like, fucking hell.
Yeah, now, lots of moments in this film, I think, wait, this is rated PG-13? Like, he's stabbing people, and he's actually got blood on his claws. Like,
yeah, but did you watch the extended version?
Possibly, yeah.
I believe the extended version is rated differently.
Okay, yeah, because I remember one scene where, like, Yukio, she's got that, whatchamacallit?
the plow.
The plow, yeah.
Yeah, and she becomes like a murdering psychopath.
Yeah, she literally like runs someone over and his blood splatters all over the wall. This ain't for kids.
Where the fuck did this come from? And okay, again, we're saying about like Wolverine doesn't really do too much out of character, but that seemed to me like out of character for Yukio. Like, I was like, really?
Laughing as she does it.
Yeah, like she seemed like a badass that can defend herself and fuck people up if they mess with her. Like when she's introduced in that bar scene and she, you know, cuts the guy's bottle in half, which is cool as fuck. And
yeah,
you think, oh yeah, I don't want to fuck with her. I think she would actually stab you through the gut if you, like, you know, said the wrong thing to her.
Yeah.
But I didn't see her as a ninja murdering psychopath, you know, and that felt really jarring. Like, really, okay. And like, the fact that Wolverine's like alongside her, like throwing people into the fucking plow thing.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I'll just chuck you to your horrible death. Okay. Like, it's not too bad for Wolverine, but I think for, I don't know, it was a bit jarring, that's what,
yeah,
I'd say.
You think she'd want to do a more honourable kill since she's gone out about honour quite a lot at this point.
Yeah, yeah. But also saying that, I do think she was the only other character that's even worth talking about in this podcast, to be honest. Because I generally think every other character in this movie, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm not concluding Jean Grey. Well, Jean Grey's cameos were fucking brilliant. I like those. I thought they played a really good role. They make it, that, like you say, they're the only tissue or connection to the other movies. And it would make sense that Logan's having these sort of dreams, you know, that fits in with the character, and I like that. But she's not a proper character, she's a hallucination, basically, she's a dream. So, is there any other characters that are even worth fucking talking about for more than a minute? Because for me, the rest of this cast is boring as fuck. I don't know about you, I don't know if that was just me, but...
They're just sort of by the numbers, aren't they?
Mm. Okay, maybe the villain... is it Yoshida?
Oh yeah, Yoshida. Silver Samurai.
Yeah. So Yoshida is... Yeah, okay.
But again, that's one, like, I felt they made a mistake because they wanted to build this mystery to who the Silver Samurai was. But I saw it being him all along.
So... I thought we were meant to know it was him.
Yeah.
I had no idea that was a reveal. Yeah. Oh yeah, it's...
It's only like watching it back thinking... Why are you trying to keep so much secret? It's like, I know it's going to be him.
Yeah. And there's one part where Yukio says something like, no, Wolverine says to Yukio, oh, you never saw his death coming, because of course Yukio can see people's deaths.
Yeah.
And Wolverine says, oh, you never saw, and I was like, oh, that's basically them confirming that, yeah, he's not dead, because she didn't envision it. And, you know, I don't know, I thought it was a bit weak. And, you know, it doesn't help that it ends on such a shit note, like that character. Like, on that crappy CGI suit that's just fucking worst.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. That's...
If they'd actually given some investment into him, rather than just, like, killing him off, essentially. So, oh, and he'd be back later. Like, I never understood why you're so determined to stay alive.
Matt, I never understood anyone's motives in this movie. In fact, I'm not even sure why Wolverine hung about.
Like, no, I don't understand that.
Yeah, he seems like, as soon as he gets there, he never wants to go in the first place. And I thought, even though, like, she talks him into it, I thought it was then very odd that he still went along and then stayed for as long as he did. I genuinely thought it would not be out of character for Wolverine after that funeral scene just go, fuck this, and go home. Yeah. So maybe we said about Wolverine not doing anything out of character, maybe that was a bit out of character that he actually stayed and gave a fuck. I suppose you could argue that, oh, he had the, he wasn't healing properly.
And so, like, he wanted to figure that out. He sees this woman's in danger, he likes to protect people in danger, doesn't he?
Yeah. Woman in danger. I assume you're only talking about, the one Mariko. And only, that's it, thank you. I was about to look it up because I can never remember that name because I think she may be the most boring character to ever be on a movie screen. Oh my fuck. Like, every time she's on the screen, I'm reaching for my phone. I'm, you know, matchsticks, keeping my eyes open, the full fucking works, you know what I mean? She's so bland.
She is. She's just like, oh, we need a generic love interest to replace Jean, but we never really replaces Jean.
Yeah, because they don't develop her at all. Like, I can't tell you anything about that character. Nothing. No. I don't know what her motivations are. I don't know what who she cares for, who she doesn't care for. I don't know if she's sad that her fucking father died, grandfather died. You know, I don't know. She's just there. And like, yeah, Wolverine seems to really like her for some reason.
It seems like she can't make a decision by herself. Like, she's got forced into this marriage. She got forced into running this company. It's like, and she doesn't want to do either.
Yeah, and I get it. Maybe with Japanese culture, that might, yeah.
Yeah, she goes on about how, like, it's dishonorable to say no to them, but
yeah,
still, like, you'd think, like, if you know you're going to be groomed for this, you'd put an interest in.
Yeah.
That's all she seems to be good at, is throwing knives.
Yeah. And even then, it's like, oh, cool. I don't know, there's nothing about her. I just completely turned off to this character. And I turned off to her dad as well. Can't remember his name.
Shinjin.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, Shinjin. See, and this, by the way, just before any idiots jump in and be like, but, oh, you don't know the Japanese characters. No, it's because they're boring. Like, you know, I love Yukio. And, you know, it's not a case of them being fucking Japanese or anything like that. In fact, I just fucking said that I'm happy that this was set in Tokyo, and I love the fact that this wasn't a whitewashed cast. I'm just not happy that none of these characters were developed, and they were all pointless, essentially. And they were just boring.
Yeah, like, the Archer. What's his name?
The Archer?
Yeah, the... Oh, I can't... Harada?
Oh, Harada. The ninja.
Yeah.
Yeah, blah, 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 I can't remember his name now
either. Yeah, Harada. Harada.
Again, see, that's another character where, like, when I first saw him on the rooftops in that funeral scene, I thought, oh, he's going to be badass.
See, first see him, but then again, later on, I'm thinking, why are you not ready with your archers? Like, with your bow?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I'm thinking, like, Legolas or Hawkeye, they would have shot about 10 people by now while you're just getting ready.
Yeah, and... yeah, completely.
Especially like when he sees Logan go up to the thing, you think, something might happen here, I should probably get my bow ready.
Yeah. it's daft, isn't it? Like, I don't know.
And then like when he's trying to be cocky, he's like, oh, he's weak now, he's nothing. We'll take him easily. Thinking, dumbass.
Yeah. This, honestly, Matt, out of all the movies we've watched, for all the MCU and, like, you know, the Fox ones we've gone through, I would not say this is the worst one we've watched at all. But I would say it's the hardest to concentrate on and the hardest to follow. Just because there's so many long, drawn-out bits that I just don't care for.
But I will say I love all the action scenes in this.
See, I... No, I
apart from the last one with the samurai, but the scene with the funeral I enjoyed.
See, now, I'm going to disagree. I actually think the action scenes drag on a little too long. Like, at one point, I actually looked at my phone and was like, since this funeral got attacked, I think 20 minutes has passed. Okay, now we're on a train, so you've changed location and everything, but the pace hasn't... You're still part of the extended action scene that started at the funeral, and it was just a bit like Peter Griffin and the chicken at one point. Well, I just thought, like, this is getting silly now. Like, we're on the top of a train. Okay, yeah, the fight on top of the bullet train looks awesome, but Jesus Christ, you have to, like, suspend your believability. You know what I mean? Like, because...
Yeah.
Going that fast, you're just going to fly off. I don't give a fuck what claws you have or what. It's just, no. You're going to fall off the side. You're going to... And it's comical, like, when he does the fake jump and the other guy does the jump to match him and
he
gets hit by the thing. It's fun to watch, but it doesn't excuse what I think is a poorly written film.
Yeah, there was a bit like, I would show a bit of action in here since we don't have any story to tell.
Yeah, and I will actually say the action's probably the best bit about the movie. It's just, I don't know, I always want more reason behind my action. The fact that we were pretty much given the impression that Wolverine doesn't give two flying fucks about these people and just wants to get on with his life and not get involved in this shit, he seemed pretty passionate to win this fight. Okay, yeah, that's Wolverine, he wants to win every fight, but I just felt a bit like, you've not given me a reason to be invested in these action scenes. That makes sense?
No, it's sort of like, he seems to care about America when we never really did.
No, I don't think anyone cares about America. Like, why would they? She's... Like, I bet her favourite colour is beige. You know?
Oh, it wouldn't surprise me, yeah.
Like, Wolverine... Just... it looked like Hugh Jackman was... You know how, like, they say, oh, so-and-so could work wonders with a broomstick or whatever, you know? Like... again, not to bring in wrestling terms again, but oh, Shawn Michaels could have a 5-star wrestling match with a broomstick. Well, we just proved that Hugh Jackman cannot have a 5-star scene with a broomstick because he tried. And don't get me wrong. All I can do is, you know, pour all the praise and award over Hugh Jackman for this movie because he did what he could with it. And again, go on.
So you can understand why coming out of this movie, he was very much like, I want to stop playing Wolverine.
Oh yeah, definitely. And again, like there are other characters that are worth talking about. Like we said, I feel like a fucking broken record because I'm trying to pull some positives out of this movie because I don't think it's terrible. I don't think it's even a bad movie, actually. I think it's a good movie. Because like I say, the woman who plays Yukio, Rila Fukushima, like, brilliant. I think she's fantastic.
Oh yeah, and I felt her relationship with Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, definitely. Like, it would have been more believable if Wolverine started falling for her because those two genuinely had good chemistry. And again, you said about what's his name, Shinjin, the guy who plays him. What's his name? Hiroki Sanada. like, he seems really interesting, and I want to see more of him. And he's in a lot of proper. Like Japanese movies, isn't it? He was in what's it called? Sunshine. You ever seen Sunshine?
No, I never seen it.
Sunshine's quality. Go watch that. Brilliant movie. Anyway, I digress. Like, so you know, you've got the potential for Hugh Jackman to have some really badass scenes with some of these characters, but it just never comes to be. And again, like the guy who plays Yoshida, I think he's fantastic. You know, at times, like, especially the young version of him. You know, whoever plays the young version of Yoshida. I don't have it in front of me.
Ken Yanamaru.
Alright, yeah.
Ken Yanamaru.
Okay.
Yeah.
but yeah, I thought, you know, he did a fantastic job, and I enjoyed those early scenes, you know, back in the 40s that he's not meant to remember.
Yeah.
You know, and I enjoyed their interaction. And in general, I actually quite like the relationship between Yoshida and Logan. But the fact that they only interact in flashbacks and at the end of the movie in one of the worst final scenes in history, that taints it. I almost just wish you never did the fake death thing and he could have just been a main character that was in it throughout. I think that would have been a way better direction with Yoshida than to kill him off and then, surprise, I'm still alive.
Yeah. Sort of have him slowly manipulate him to try get Wolverine's powers.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, and when he cuts up the adamantium claws.
Started on that. I got so many little nitpicks in this movie.
So when you have adamantium claws, why are you regressing back to bone claws?
Yeah, I was gonna say, how can the bone claws still work?
I don't know. Okay. I get that he can regrow them.
His bones. But that's the only thing I can think of is that his bones regrow.
But then it still have that little stump.
Yeah. How can that bone pass through the adamantium? I just so many, like, and this isn't just something that someone's mentioned and now I thought of. I remember the first time I watched this, I sat there going, wait, what?
Yeah.
How does that work? And if you then have that feeling, that's going to take you out of that scene every time. You know?
It pissed me off. Yeah. And then, again, they go to Days of Future Past and it's sort of like he's got adamantium claws again.
Hmm. Yeah, they never address that, do they? They never go back to how we got his adamantium claws back. It's almost like these Wolverine solo movies aren't... Although when you watch them, they blatantly are in the connected universe, hence the Jean Grey flashbacks, you know, and everything in Origins is a prequel and all that. But then it almost like when they get back to the normal X-Men movies, they're like, no, that never happened. It's almost like they regret making these Wolverine solo movies like instantly.
Yeah, I think they do.
The other little niggly bits like that bothered me was, like, the whole not being able to heal properly thing. which I don't think worked for them as well as they wanted it to. I think they wanted that to be a real, like, oh, what would Wolverine be like if he didn't have his healing abilities? Ah, boring.
Yeah. I never really understood it. Like, is his healing powers completely gone? Can he still heal slightly? Because you take a shotgun wound to the chest, you ain't going up and fighting in another 2 hours.
Yeah, it was really vague. And also, what I want to get is, like, why aren't his hands constantly bleeding? Like, he's still using his claws. That seems to be healing again fine. If you're going to do something like that, commit to it.
Yeah.
Like, don't make it so wishy-washy that, like, oh, well, he can kind of half heal, but he still gets hurt now. He's not indestructible, guys, so sympathy, yeah? No.
That's
not how it works. It's just made him... We know. Just made, if anything, it made him less cool, which you never want with Wolverine. I got a few other, like, little niggly bits as well, but I just don't want to sit here and nitpick through the whole thing. You know, but I'll tell you what I will fucking nitpick on before we move on to some positives. Viper, what's the fucking point?
Yeah, completely agree. Just, again, generic evil. So, we need a baddie who isn't Japanese and is a mutant.
Yeah, that was just so pointless. That felt like typical studio tinkering. That almost felt like... The studio says, right, what are we having for our bad guy? And they've gone, Silver Samurai. And they've gone, right, explain that character to us. And they have. And they've gone, yeah, I can't see us selling many toys of that. Can we put another villain in, please? And they've gone, it's a bit late now. Just Viper. Add her. How? No matter. Shadow. Yeah, that's what it felt like.
And the whole Samurai Surprise, that felt like a studio idea.
Yeah. Yeah. It does.
Oh, we've got to have a big reveal. Like, because that's what comic book movies do. So, no, you don't.
You don't have to do
that. You'll prove that a little later on.
Exactly. And especially at this point in 2013, you don't need to go down some of those cliche routes. Like, we've already seen what... Like, the MCU at this point in time are rolling along quite well, and you're starting to see, well, okay, maybe this is how combat movies should be made. But then again, it came out in 2013, so it was probably being made in, like, 2011 or whatever. So, you know.
And MCU was still... starting point then.
Yeah, they're still at their infancy at that point, so maybe you can... You know, I'm not saying that every comic book movie should look towards the MCU and do as they do, but they should.
Just look through the successful ones, Batman Begins or any of the Dark Knights.
Yeah, there's other ways you can go with it, isn't there?
Yeah.
But very quickly, I forgot to mention as well, we were talking about Wolverine's healing abilities. And this is the end, part of the end scene. So I think we should establish, we should go into the end scene a bit more as well. Or the final boss fight. When Yoshida, Silver Samurai, starts to take away his healing powers, he's holding on to him in a horrible CGI suit with a stupid head floating there. He starts to take his powers, and then it all gets interrupted, and Wolverine then like rips out his bone claws, like, and seems to then heal straight back up again. How did he get his powers back? Like, I just assumed most of them were sucked out. But how did he just...
I'm guessing because it wasn't all sucked out, he can just repair himself.
It just resets.
Yeah.
I don't know, it just felt a little odd.
But then I don't understand why he stayed young. Was it just the fact that he had the healing powers, so he went back to young?
Maybe, I guess when In which case,
why didn't he just say, can you do me a favour, let me join in here for 5 minutes. I go young again, you can go on with your life.
Yeah, that would have been easier, wouldn't it? But then I guess, like, Yoshida, when he got the powers, he went young and then went straight back to old. Or did he, stay young?
No, he stayed young until he was stabbed.
Yeah. Oh, I don't fucking know. Like, this is the problem. If your end of the movie is full of this many questions, then you've probably done something wrong.
Yeah.
And it was. I'm not sitting here saying... This whole movie was a fucking disaster. It's just got too many questions. It's got too many things that don't feel like they've been thought about properly, and it just feels a bit rushed and thrown together. It is a shame that it ended the way it did. Because the adamantium claws being cut, stupid. The bone claws coming back, questionable. The healing powers coming back, again, questionable.
You can tell James Mangold had an idea, and he just wasn't allowed to fully execute it.
Yeah, and I don't know if that was his fault or if that was studio interference. you know.
I think it's a bit of both, because this was pre-Deadpool.
Yeah, true. I do think this movie is like a good kind of skeleton, and it just wasn't filled in properly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know what it is about this movie that makes me want to be positive about it. Because I do want to force on some bits I liked. So, before I go on about stuff I like, because I think I've got out of the system with things I don't like. Is there any things you really, really liked that you haven't mentioned yet?
I like the scene where he's trying to get to the tower and he's fighting all the ninjas.
Yes, that is badass. I think any time Wolverine's fighting a ninja, you can't really go wrong.
Nah.
And I think the arrow scene all in his back, I think that looks cool.
Yeah. It does like bug that, me a bit, like, why does he just turn around and cut all the wires, but yeah.
And that's that scene ruined for me. Thanks, man. That's a good point. I like to think it's because his body can't move. Like, they're pulling him back.
Yeah,
like,
and he does shoot him with that weakening poison stuff.
Yeah. I just think it's a cool visual effect.
And that is a shot straight from the comics.
Yeah. That's a, like, two-page spread, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, I think it's actually been done, that is a two-page spread.
All right, well, there you go. So, yeah, that's cool as fuck. I like that. And, again, we've touched on the Nagasaki scene and the flashbacks, the Nagasaki bombing. I love that. We said about how... I think that's what got me excited for the movie the first time I saw it, was they were opening with a historical event, and straight away that was one of the things I took away from First Class that I loved. I absolutely loved that they wove the story into the Cuban Missile Crisis, and I love when combat movies do that, and then this was doing it straight away with the Nagasaki bombings, and I was like, yes, Fox, this is a good way to go. Fucking put your mutants into like real history and shit. Yes, I'm on board. So I really like that opening scene, even though I've heard a lot of people complain that it's not a realistic portrayal of how a nuclear bomb would go, and I get that. Like, they probably wouldn't survive just by jumping in that thing. And just
he would, but the other guy couldn't.
It's still fucked.
The nuclear radiation is going to get in that hole.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm still, personally, it's just... It's things like that I can let go. I think it's weird. I think with a lot of, like, you know, a lot of sweaties... R.I.P. John Schnapp. I think... We will suspend our disbeliefs a little bit for certain things, but not things that we've established with our characters. So we've established that you cannot break adamantium, so don't break adamantium. We don't really give a fuck about what the technical terms are for a nuclear bomb. I think that's where the line is. Or am I just chatting shit? I feel like
I completely agree. Like, with explosions and just general action, we're willing to suspend our disbeliefs. It's when, like you say, the characters aren't behaving like we've seen before. Then we get a bit like, well, what's going on here?
Because that's what we're invested in. We're invested in the characters. We're not invested in the technicalities of, you know, science or whatever. You know what I mean? We're invested in the superhero. We want to see a superhero movie. If you get those characters right, then we're happy. But if you start fucking with them and start doing weird shit that we're not seeing before, you pull a fucking Wolverine Origins Deadpool on us, and, you know, it'll never be forgiven.
No.
But, you know, if you, you know, change the laws of nuclear physics or whatever, that's fine.
I don't understand a lot of nuclear physics anyway, so...
Yeah, you may piss off some scientists, but you ain't gonna piss off me. So, yeah. Dumb people unite. But I don't know, I just really like that opening scene. I think it's worth talking about. I've kind of already spoken about, like, the first time we see Jean Grey, I remember, like, popping big for that in the cinema. Yeah. I didn't know she was going to be in it. I genuinely didn't. I can't remember if she was in the trailers or anything, but I do remember being slightly surprised, but like, oh, nice. And like I say, Yukio's introduction I thought was brilliant. I actually think this movie gets off to a really cool start. The first time you go to Tokyo, I'm like, yeah, man, the funeral scene's cool. Like, this movie's good.
Yeah.
And then I just think there's a big drawn-out middle where it loses me. And the drawn-out middle's not necessarily bad. I just think it's a bit, like,
long. It's just all the stuff with him and Mariko.
Yes, yeah, that takes me out. That loses me. And then it picks me up again for the ninja fight on his way up the mountain. and then loses me when he gets up there. So it's a very, like...
Technically, they lose it when you lose Yukio. If she'd gone with him, then it would have been a lot better, I reckon.
That's a good shout, yeah. I'd have liked to have seen that. That would have been cool.
Because it picks back up when he, like, meets up with Yukio, and he goes and he puts his hand in his chest and all that. And you have the Yukio talk about, I see you die.
Oh, that bugged me a little bit. Not the Yukio's vision, the putting his hand in his chest and that. I was just thinking, I think there's more to it than that. Like, to reach your heart, I'm pretty sure he got more than like a little...
He cut it, like, in the worst possible place. You think he'd just cut it down middle of his chest. But instead he cuts his, like, stomach, so he's got to reach in.
Yeah, but then you got to go through the ribcage, Matt.
Yeah. Why didn't he just ask her to do it?
That's a very good point.
So she can see better.
And I'm sure you can find a dodgy surgeon in, like, somewhere in Tokyo who would do it for you, I'm sure.
That vet that he caught to repair
him. Go back to him. Then again, I don't think he wants Wolverine back after escapades. But, you know, this is all frustrating. There are some fun things in this movie. There are fun... Like, I would have liked to have seen more Yukio in the future movies. And it was a bit disappointing at the end of the movie. They're in the jet together, and it sounds like they're going to go off and be some sort of little duo, doesn't it? Like, the way they're... And then you never hear from her again. That's a real shame, because I really enjoy the chemistry between those two characters. And speaking of the chemistry in those two characters, of course, there is that now famous scene where she sees his death. I'll ask you, Matt.
My heart now.
Okay, was it ever intentional?
James Mangold has said it was. And I think you watch it now, and you see when he does put his hand in his chest, and you see what he's holding. He's not holding his heart, he's holding... that thing. So he's never really dies in that moment with his hand on his chest, hand in his heart or whatever.
Yeah, nah, I'm calling bullshit. I don't think that was intentional at all. I think it might have been intentional when they got round to Logan, and then they thought, ooh, we can kind of play on that a little bit. But I don't think when they ripped this movie, they knew the ending. They didn't even know they were going to do a third Wolverine movie at that point.
True, yeah.
Let alone it be an old man Logan story, you know?
Yeah,
so,
true.
I'm calling bollocks. I'm calling, like, when Logan got made, they then thought, oh, we could do a cool little callback to this. And it's cool, it works. And, like, that scene now is way more important than it ever was before. And it's actually just goes to the strength of Logan, the movie Logan, not character, that's managed to improve the movie to come before it as well.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, it is a cool scene now, like, after seeing Logan. But we'll get on to Logan in a future podcast. I cannot wait to get to Logan. In fact, I can't wait to do the rest of the run now.
No, there's only one that I'm a bit apprehensive about, but the rest, all gold.
Which, what's that? Apocalypse?
Yeah.
See, I'm looking forward to seeing that again, because I think I've only actually seen it twice.
When it was released and when it came out on Blu-ray.
Yeah, same. So whereas most of these movies we've done, I've seen, like, you know, anywhere between 3 and 10 times, you know. Yeah. It sounds ridiculous, but it's just, you know, one of those things. Whereas this is one I've probably seen the least out of all the, apart from Deadpool 2, this is the one I've seen the least. And obviously Deadpool 2, because it's just come out. So yeah, I actually quite look forward to Apocalypse, but I'm looking forward to Days of Future Past especially.
Yeah.
Which we'll be doing next.
I tried to get a bit early, but no.
Yeah, you tried to jump on that bandwagon a week too early, but no, Matt, we had to do Wolverine. And how have you felt about rewatching Wolverine then, Matt? Let's get some final thoughts.
I don't think it's a bad movie, but I enjoyed it.
Sorry to interrupt. Hold that thought. Before we do our finishing touches and say our last bits and pieces, we have to talk that end credit scene.
Yeah.
I ask you a question. Is the end credit scene of this movie better than the entire movie?
I don't know.
It's the thing I was talking about most.
Yeah.
After I come out of this movie, I was talking about that end credit scene more than I was anything to have. And I think that says a lot.
It says a lot of that. We came off First Class and was like, I can't wait to get more of these characters. And then all it takes is just a short cameo of Sir Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen.
Yep.
And we're like, I'm invested again.
Yeah, but it's the way they did it. It's just the, like, going through the airport, and like, for me, I didn't know this was coming. I wasn't even expecting an after credit scene, to be honest.
I was told to stay afterwards. I had no idea what it was, but I was told there's an end credit scene, you must stay.
Yeah, and at that point, that was the point as well where I had started staying behind for all comic book movies, you know, no matter what. Unless I'd been told definitively by someone I trust, no, there's not, I was staying behind anyway, just in case.
I was still like asking, is it worth staying, is it not?
Yeah. So I was staying on it, and then I was like, oh, okay, here we go. And the second that he puts, you know, you see all the metal in the tray at the airport to go through the scanner.
Yeah.
And it starts to all rock a little bit. Goosebumps.
Yeah.
Fucking goosebumps, man. Like, and now when you watch it back, you can clearly see Ian McKellen behind.
You see his hat, like, don't you? You see his hat, like, he's like, oh, there he is.
But the first time I saw it, I genuinely didn't notice, because Logan's such an interesting character. He is always the focal point of the scene. So, like, I was just drawn to him the first time I saw it, and it wasn't until, like, you see everything rattle, and then the camera pans back out, you're like, oh, shit! You realise what's happening. And then
when you see everyone freeze.
Yeah. And then you're just like, fuck! Yeah. You know? And that's all you need. The fact you didn't... seeing these characters was incredible, but it's the introduction, the little rattle of metal, and the stopping of time. You're just like, oh, shit. And again, this goes back to what we were saying about... We're in for the characters.
Yeah.
You know? I don't give a fuck that the airport security weren't that fussed about their metal rattling all over the place. You know what I mean? It was just like, no, this is Magneto and Xavier back, and I'm so excited. And, you know, that's when they get these movies right. And how many times have we said that if you get Xavier and Magneto right, then we are on board. And you only had them in a 2-minute scene, and we were on board.
Yeah.
Not even a 2-minute scene, less than that. Yeah. Well, one of my favourite after credit scenes of all time, and I think it's a shame it gets forgotten about a lot, because I think this is sadly a very forgettable movie.
Yeah.
And with that comes the forgetting of this after credit scene. And we talk about great after credit scenes like the one in Iron Man 2 where we get introduced to Thor. You know, just all the one in Iron Man 1, that all the MCU ones basically, that, you know, they are the kings of these after-credit scenes for obvious reasons, all the Thanos ones, everything. We can go on and on and on for our favourite after-credit scenes for MCU. And I think this one, it's a bit of a shame this one gets forgotten about.
It reminded me of when we were rewatching Ant-Man, and we got to the end of that and we saw the post-credit scene for Civil War. I was like, I cannot wait till the next movie now.
Yes, yeah, that's done that for me as well now. Like I said earlier in this podcast, that it was a bit of, we took a week off because we couldn't be fucked to watch this movie, basically, and I'd rather play a bit of PlayStation, whereas I'd be very surprised if we're not back next week with Days of Future Past. You can't say it's taking a week off, because I want to watch that. I'm looking forward to watching that movie this week now.
Yeah, I'll probably end up watching it tonight and then some other point to refresh myself.
Well, there you go. It's a great movie that's worth your time, you know? But let's not get... We do this all the time. Whenever there's, like, a poor movie on the run of movies we're reviewing, we like and just end up gushing about the next one instead of, like, actually reviewing the one we're meant to be reviewing. So, Matt, final thoughts. Final score on The Wolverine. Please don't do the same as me.
It's an enjoyable movie. I liked it. It treads along a bit, like you said. Like, you've got to sit through it. It's quite an endurance thing, but... Ultimately, I rewatched this movie and I didn't enjoy it. So I didn't come out of it thinking, I never want to see this again. Probably in a couple of years, I end up watching it again when I do a whole Fox rerun. So I'll probably give it probably a 7.5 out of 10.
All right. That's fair enough. That's quite good. By the way, dear listeners, we realised we've been terrible for our list this time, whereas we were like shit hot on our MCU list. Yeah, we keep forgetting to actually write all this down. So before next week, between the two of us, we will get our list together. And you know, but that puts it below X-Men 2, puts it below...
It might be the same as X-Men 1, but if so, I think X-Men 1's slightly better.
Yeah, below First Class as well, I believe.
Yeah.
For you. Yeah, my thoughts aren't too dissimilar. I don't think I can praise it quite as much. I think, you know where you say... The bit where it's a bit of a drag and a bit of a slog, that affects me more than it does you, I think. I don't know why. Like, for me, it's harder to forgive that. It's harder to get through that for me.
Sorry to interrupt, but I think it definitely didn't help you that you didn't have subtitles.
All right, yeah, peek behind the curtain. I don't own this movie. I'm a bit ashamed to say. And I was actually going to try buy it for this podcast. That's another reason I delayed it a week. Unfortunately, Payday did not come quick enough. So I asked my mate, our pirate, Jack.
Johnny Depp.
yeah, I asked Johnny Depp to sort me out. And he didn't sort me out with a good copy. I remember most of the shit that goes down anyway, and like, you know, it was, but I don't think that was what, that wasn't my issue, you know, because they weren't the scenes in native Japanese I actually quite like, if I can understand them or not, it brings a certain realism to the scenes. For me it was more like all of Wolverine scenes with, fucking forgot her name again already,
Yukio, Mariko.
Mariko, that's, yeah, like the most boring character on the planet. I don't care what language she's speaking, she's boring. I just find, and again, like the action scenes that you say you really enjoy, I enjoy them, but I also feel they go on for a little too long. So for me, this movie, because the story isn't strong enough, it does struggle to hold my attention. For me, story is key in these. I love action scenes, don't get me wrong, like we talk about like the airport scene in Civil War, for example, is one of the best things to ever go on to movies. But if you never had the character development of every single one of those MCU characters, would that airport scene matter? Would it be even half as good as we imagine? That was the first movie you'd seen of the MCU.
Yeah,
that scene would still be awesome, but you'd be like,
you wouldn't be good. Getting the goosebumps that you get now.
Yeah, you wouldn't be losing your fucking shit because the way they led up to it made you react that way. Unfortunately, like the action scenes may be good in this, but you've not given, other than Logan, you've not given me reason to care about these characters. So, you know, that's where it falls apart for me. I'm going to go a little lower than you. I'll give it a 7 out of 10. I'm not going to lower than a 7 because I do think there's a good movie in there. I'm not sure I could rewatch it as quick as you. I think this one, I need a few years for this one. But still, there's good parts in it, and some, like you say, some of the action scenes are really good. I love watching Wolverine fight ninjas. You could never argue with that. It's just and the end credit scene, like, you know, it's the last thing that sticks with you. So yeah, maybe that's why I always actually kind of view this movie in a fond light until I rewatch it and remember the slog in between.
On a random note, it was especially Jack for this movie. And did you know he actually asked The Rock for dieting tips to help get jacked?
That's badass. And if there's one man you're going to ask The Rock.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good shout. Good shout. Good shout to you. Okay, so you've got higher than me on 7.5, and I'm with a 7, so we were quite close.
Yeah. I think we were great in the same place, where it's not quite good as X-Men 1 or 2 or First Class, but shit ton's better than Last Stand or Origins.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. I was saying about, like, I might struggle to rewatch this movie, but if you said you have to watch this 3 times in a row, or Origins 3 times in a row.
Even if you've got to watch this 3 times in a row, or you've got to watch Origins once.
Yeah, fair enough.
You've got to watch that last scene of Origins with Deadpool, or this 3 times in a row.
Without subtitles. Yeah, easy decision. Right, okay, on that note, Matt, do you want to take us away with the social medias, and we'll get the fuck out of there?
Yes, we have Twitter at NerdingOut2, Instagram at NerdingOut2, and Facebook NerdingOut2 the podcast. You'll get updated through when we release even news, if we do that next week, or when we get round to doing Days of Future Past, you'll be updated when we release that.
Yep, so join us next week. Like Matt said, don't know if we're doing a news one. We'll see if we get any news. Yeah, we'll see if anything slips through our Ant-Man and Wasp spoiler defences. But until then, stay sweaty.